Hi and welcome to my favourite Elliott Smith song. If you haven't heard us before, this podcast is pretty simple really. We tried to do our bit to keep Elliott Smith's legacy alive by speaking to well-known fans about their favourite song of his. And thanks very much for joining us for today's episode. We're speaking to the writer Maggie Smith. Maggie is a poet and an author from Columbus, Ohio, and has published several poetry collections, including her latest book, Goldenrod, which has literally just come out as I record this in July of 2021. I realised Maggie was an Elliott Smith fan when I saw her tweeting about him, and so I got in touch with her. I have to say it was really fun chatting to Maggie about Elliott and getting a poet's perspective on his music, as well as hearing her interesting takes on her favourite song pick as well. So without any further ado, I'll play the interview now. Here's Maggie Smith.
I'm Maggie Smith. I'm a writer, primarily a poet, and I'm in Columbus, Ohio.
And can you tell us what your favorite Elliott Smith song is?
So that's tricky, which I think is the answer every time you ask someone their favorite song. It's like asking your favorite poem or your favorite book or your favorite film. And they tend to rotate. You know, some years I have one that I go back to a lot, and other years it's a different song. But right now, I'm sticking with Rose Parade.
Yes, we are coming.
Why Rose Parade? So I was listening to it recently on repeat, as I often do. And I realized, I think there are two kinds of people. There are people who can stand the same song over and over for over an hour. And there are people that cannot do that. And I am in the first group. So I tend to sort of hook into a song, and it might be a day or two or three. And it's sort of like the soundtrack for that period of time. And so I had a day recently that Rose Parade was the soundtrack of my day. And I thought, well, first of all, I thought the beginning of the song is perfect. Like the guitar part at the beginning of that song is perfect, and I don't know why more brides don't walk down the aisle to that guitar part on a loop. I feel like it's so much better than almost any other option.
Yeah.
Of wedding song. And I said that to someone earlier, and he was like, that's kind of dark though. Like, you know, if I ever do it again, I don't see that happening. It's on the table as an option.
Can I ask you what you did walk down the aisle to?
I walked down the aisle to bagpipers. Like, I literally walked down the aisle behind a live bagpiper playing the bagpipes.
Well, that's nice as well. I mean, it's very different from
a flair for the dramatic. But in the music that played in the room before that, there was some magnetic fields and some cat power and some Decemberists and all kinds of stuff. But then we pressed pause on that and did bagpipes, because I just had always wanted, I'd always wanted that.
March down the street like a Duracell buddy. The weekend away from the cavalry.
Part of it is the Duracell bunny for me, because, you know, I'm a writer, but I also work as an editor. And so I have a little bit of a perfectionistic streak that I'm not proud of. I'm also an INFJ on the Myers-Briggs, and the J is for judgment. And that, you know, it's the same impulse. And so I remember hearing this song for the first time. And every time I hear it, I think the same thing. I think it's the Energizer bunny. So then I went down a rabbit hole, no pun intended, and found that there was a Duracell bunny, and that Energizer was sort of making fun and parodying the Duracell bunny with their own ridiculous drumming bunny. And so in some ways, it's not a mistake. But then I went down a further rabbit hole and found an interview where Elliot says it was a mistake. He's like, I just wrote Duracell Bunny and I like the sound of it and I recorded it. And then somebody was like, man, it's not the Duracell Bunny, it's the Energizer Bunny. And he was like, oh yeah, but he liked the way it sounded, so he left it.
March down the street like a Duracell Bunny.
Yeah, well, does Energizer have maybe one too many syllables to
work? It doesn't
work.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't, rhythmically, it doesn't work. And so, you know, as a poet, I know I'm always thinking about word choice, and I don't usually write in, say, rhyme or meter. It's free verse, but I'm still, you know, saying it out loud to myself, and I don't want a tongue twister, and I want it to be a natural rhythm. And so Energizer doesn't work, but Duracell.
Well, you know, actually, like, when you had chosen this song and I was looking again at the lyrics and people were talking about this Duracell Energizer thing, but to us in the UK, it is the Duracell Bunny.
Right.
I don't think we're really... So I never really even considered it as a... I know, I always thought that's just sounds normal. That's what... The Duracell Bunny is a Duracell Bunny.
No, it always... until I, like, researched it, it always struck me as a mistake. But it was kind of the thing I loved about it too, like the perfect imperfection. Like when someone you love has a chipped tooth or a strange cowlick, or your favorite shirt has like a little hole or a stain, but you wear it anyway, like that little piece that's not quite right, but it's the thing that makes it sort of special. And so for me, that moment in the song, it's like the non-mistake mistake. It's what makes it, I don't know, one of a kind.
To people passing by that all seem to be going the other way. So won't you follow me down to the Rose Parade?
But yeah, Rose Parade, I love the sweetness of it and the darkness of it. And they exist at the same time. And that's sort of, I think, a hallmark of most of Elliot's music, is this brightness and darkness. And I think maybe I hear it more on that record than I do even on the one before. The one before, I think, sort of still has kind of like an angry edge to some of the songs. And either or just, I don't know, has a kind of sweetness and vulnerability to it. But it's not super produced yet. So for me, that record is like the sweet spot. And it worked out pretty well because I think that was the first, it was a CD. And actually, I found it. I went into my old CDs that I don't really play anymore. And it's completely scratched up and the case is like unhinged and falling apart. And it's obvious that I've read the liner notes a lot. But
so when would you have bought that when it came out?
I bought it when it came out. So it was 1997. I think I was a sophomore in college. And I listened to it in the stereo in my dorm room, probably on repeat, knowing me, which probably drove my roommate crazy. I blocked that out. But yeah, I had this when it came out, and it was, I'm pretty sure, the first album I had of his. And then I went back and found the Elliot Smith record. And then I was totally hooked, so that by the time EXO came out a couple years later, actually, I think it was only a year later, those came out really in
they're quite close together.
And from then on, anytime something came out, I bought it right away. But this was the beginning of the love affair. And I think there's always something special about like the first record you have from someone that no matter what happens after that, even if there are like technically better songs or songs you even have like better memories surrounding those songs, there's something about the first that means something special. So for me, it was this one, and Rose Parade's always been a favorite.
Tripped over a dog in a choke chain collar. People were shouting and pushing and saying.
And are there any other lines in the song that really kind of stick out to you or that you really like?
I like all of them. I love the drunk horn player.
Trumpet is obviously been drinking. Cause he's fucking up even the simplest lines.
But I also think, you know, part of the song is, if you didn't listen to the words, if you just, and even if you just listen to like an instrumental version, which is what I'm really pushing as being part of like a wedding march.
Wedding.
it's really sweet and pretty. Like, it's a beautiful song. And then you listen to the lyrics and there's this one line that's like, when they clean the street, that line, when they clean the street, I'll be the only shit that's left behind. And it's like, but it's, the lyrics are almost kind of a foil to the sweetness of the music. And I love that. Like, I love that it's not, it's this sort of darkness, but it's wrapped in this sort of like bright, beautiful packaging. And you don't get one without the other. You actually have to take them together at the same time.
Say it's a sight that's quite worth seeing. It's just that everyone's interest is stronger than mine.
You mentioned that Either Or was, you know, your entry point to Elliot Smith. And so will that always be this album, the album that Rose Parade is on, that will always be your number one Elliot Smith album?
I don't think there's any changing it. Although when we were talking about trying to come up with a song to talk about today, I realized that I think all of my other favorites are actually on Elliot Smith.
Okay. So tell us about those songs then.
So there's like a run. Actually, it's like all, basically all of them. Like, I'm like, it's a run of all the songs. But yeah, it's one of those, in some ways, all of his records are like this, but I think Elliot Smith is particularly like unskippable, where you just can hit play, like put your headphones on, put your phone in your pocket, and you actually don't need to get your phone back out to skip a song you don't love. You can just listen to it all the way through. So, some of my favorites on that one are, I love Christian Brothers. Mm. And I love the Heat Miser version of that song too.
Yeah, I love that one. The full band version.
I almost like it more. Maybe I shouldn't say that. And Coming Up Roses, I love like some of the lines in that song. And Clementine and Alphabet Town and St. Ide's Heaven. I mean, that whole record is... it's kind of flawless. And you think, how can you go anywhere from that? And then he put out Either Or and it's like, oh, you know, and then like the next year XO came out and it's like, oh, wow. I mean, I know from like the writing perspective, like you finish a book and you think like, how am I going to do that again? That's always the question. Like, what's next? I don't want to do the same thing, but it can't be too, too different, because then what if the people who liked the last thing don't like the next thing? So how do you evolve as an artist and stay productive and prolific? And he did. It's a marvel to look at that run of records.
If we can we go, we'll go back to when you first discovered Either Or. Can you tell us a bit more about that? Where were you in your life? What were you doing? What else were you into at that time?
What else was I into at that time? So that would have been 1997. I was 2 years out of high school. I was 20 years old in a dorm room at a liberal arts college studying philosophy, which Elliot studied in college, and poetry. You know, the double thing that really makes you employable later in life. Your parents should be really excited when you're studying philosophy and poetry in college. And, you know, listening to a lot of music, because that's, you know, been part of my life since I was a kid. I've always been someone who has spent a lot of time in my bedroom alone listening to music, even when I was a little kid. So It hasn't much changed. Although now I don't have to hide in my bedroom anymore because I own the house. So I listen
wherever you like.
Yeah, I listen to my music downstairs really loud, and my kids come home and they'll be like, "Can you turn it down?" And it's like having parents again. It's like being a teenager and having your parents tell you to turn the music down. You become the adult whose kids tell you to turn the music down. And the answer now is no. So I don't know. I mean, I don't really remember what else I was listening to in 1997, but probably all the same things that people who liked Elliott Smith in 1997 were listening to. Radiohead, probably. I also, you know, I also really liked and like kind of alt country. And so I was listening to, I'm sure, Wilco and old Uncle Tupelo records and the Jayhawks and a bunch of stuff. Liz Phair, I remember having a 90s love affair with her, and Grant Lee Phillips. And
Did Elliott Smith's music kind of go with you as your own career developed?
Yeah, I mean, I started writing poems pretty seriously in college. I think that's when I started sounding like myself. So in some ways, it feels appropriate that I was listening to music by really accomplished songwriters while I was learning how to do it on my own. And I still am. I mean, you can see the room I'm in. The whole wall behind me is records. So I'm still writing poems, and I'm still listening to music all the time. And I listen to music while I write poems, which I know a lot of poets don't do that. Like, they have to listen to instrumental music. And I like that too. I mean, I love, you know, Dirty Three and Explosions in the Sky, and there's all kinds of Godspeed You Black Emperor. Like, I'll put that stuff on sometimes when I write, but I actually like listening to Elliott Smith and other songs with lyrics as I write, because sometimes a mishearing or a partial hearing or a little scrap of language will kind of winnow its way into what I'm thinking about, and I'll get a little bit of inspiration from it.
What if you were going to start writing now, what Elliott Smith song do you think you put on, or Elliott Smith songs
that I'd put on right now?
Yeah, if you were thinking like, I'm gonna start a new poem tomorrow and I want to create a playlist of songs for that.
That's a really good question. I think I might go into some of the later stuff, because it's really sunny and bright here. And I think, you know, Pretty Mary Kay would sound really good on a day like today. Maybe I'll put that on after we talk and walk. I'll wear that in my headphones when I walk up to pick my son up from school.
People often talk about Elliott Smith's lyrics, and they talk about them sometimes as poetry. Do you see him as a great lyricist and a poet, or do you get something different from his music?
You know, I do. It's funny. I think most songs don't withstand being typed on a piece of paper. Like, you know, you listen to it with the music and it's like, oh my gosh, that is flawless. And then if you just saw the song typed on a piece of paper, oftentimes it falls really flat. And I think he is among those writers that doesn't happen. Like, you can actually see the poetry in the lyrics. And it's like, it is, it's metaphor and word choice and sound play and timing, and sometimes like sort of gallows humor comic timing with things in the song. So, you know, I don't see them as poems. They're obviously songs, and it's a little bit different, but man, they get close. Won't you follow me down to the rose parade? Won't you follow me down to the rose parade?
A big thank you then to Maggie for taking the time to be part of the podcast. As I said before, Maggie has literally just published a new collection of poetry called Goldenrod, so do check that out if you're interested. And that's pretty much it then from me for today. Just the usual reminders that you can find us on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook at My Fave E. Smith Song if you want to stay up to date with all the goings on with the podcast. And of course, please do rate and review the show if you're enjoying it. My thanks again to Maggie Smith for being our guest today. Thank you also to Elizabeth Woodstanley for producing the show with me, and thank you for listening to it. We'll be back with a new episode very soon. See you then.